to be here with you this morning. And I do feel at home here, and I greatly appreciate this privilege that you've given me to be here with you. And we certainly do not take it lightly. Over the years, I have greatly appreciated your love and care, your long suffering. But right now, I need your prayers. Get busy. Please be praying for me. I'm very thankful for your pastor. Miss Brother Bo. Y'all pray for him. I miss him. He's a little under the weather this morning. One of the things that I so appreciate about your pastor is that we walk together in the truth that the Lord has blessed us to know. And I'm very thankful for my yoke fellow in the ministry. And I'm very thankful to know the church and the pastor where my children, a majority of my children, attend church, and my grandson. Let's get to work this morning. If you have your 1611 King James translation, please turn with me to the 139th Psalm. The 139th Psalm. This psalm is written by King David, and this psalm is known for its affirmation concerning God's divine attributes of his omnipresence and his omniscience. These are two of our great God's divine attributes. And this divinely inspired psalm penned by King David is a very personal prayer from King David to his God. We need to hear it, and it needs to speak to us. And here's the message. The all-knowing God knows me. That's the message. Now, it's going to be about his omnipresence. That's going to be that this all-knowing God is always with me. But our Heavenly Father knows you. I want you to put your name there in the blank. He knows about you. He knows everything about you. There is nothing that anyone is going to tell him about you, whether it's true or false, and he's going to know the truth of the matter. No talebearer, no gossip is going to say anything about you. And if it's the truth, God already knows about it. Let me tell you, saint of God, child of God, he knows all about you. He knows all about me. And he loves us with a perfect, everlasting love. It's unconditional. It doesn't change because he knows about me. You see, I may be able to keep a few things from Brother Josh. You may be able to keep a few things from your pastor. You may be able to keep some things from Mom and Dad. You might be able to keep a few things from your wife, from your husband, from your church members, but you're not keeping anything from God. He knows all about you. What is this message going to mean to me about God's omniscience? What is it supposed to mean to me personally? The blessing I've received lately, of late, from this lesson that is so incredibly great, is that God's omniscience has everything to do with how I go before him and I confess my sins to him. It has everything to do with how I go to him in prayer and I speak to him. It has everything to do with how I face the trials and the tribulations and the sufferings of this present time, because he's already aware. When I go to him in prayer, I'm not giving him any update. He already knows. When I go before him and I confess my sins before him, he already knows. Let me tell you how well he already knows. His son, his darling son, went to Calvary and paid for that sin. It's been paid for in full by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when I'm going through whatever personal, specific to me, my it, you know, we all have its. My it and your it may not be the same it, but we all have its that we're dealing with in life. And I was telling a group of men that this past week. A man was felt the need to confess all of his its to me, and I told him, I said, hold up. That's between you and your God. You don't have to confess all of your its to me. And my it and your it may not be the same it, but I want to tell you, he knows about every one of them. And it has to do with, I may not have the intellectual knowledge right now about why and what and everything else that's going on with some situation with me in my life, but I've got an all-knowing God that knows all about it. He's not getting any update. There's nothing new that he's going to learn. Isn't that amazing? Let's get to our lesson here. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me, King David says. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge, David says, is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. You see, it's not just that God is all-knowing, David says, that he declares the end from the beginning, that he knows every single bit of knowledge, but he knows all about me. This sovereign God that's ever present with me knows all about me. Nothing ever just occurs unto God. We'll say, well, that's never occurred to me before. Your God's never going to say that. Nothing ever just occurs to him. He never just remembers anything. Our Heavenly Father never has a new thought. He's never surprised about anything. He never wonders about everything. He never thinks, what should I do now that we do? There's nothing, no fact that he does not have sovereign knowledge about. He sovereignly and he eternally knows everything. He forever, perfectly, completely, unerringly knows all things. There is nothing that he is ever going to learn that's going to shock him. You see, if he learned anything new, he wouldn't be God. We couldn't say that he has infinite knowledge. We couldn't say that he's omniscient. and he's eternal and he's perfect, but we can because he is God. He is the wise God. If any stray bit of knowledge could hide from him, he wouldn't be who he is. And that word omniscience is not a hard word, it's an easy word. Omni meaning all. Science meaning all knowledge. That omniscience, that Greek word, has to do with knowing all knowledge that is to be known. God knows everything that is known. He possesses comprehensive knowledge about everything. Our true desire, let's get personal here. Our true desire about us, our nature about us, is for somebody to know us. And not only to fully know me, but to understand me. Bless Sister Becky's heart, my helpmeet. She didn't run off. She knows me, she puts up with me, she's long-suffering with me. But she doesn't know everything about me. She doesn't know all about me, but my God does. And he knows all about me, and he loves me anyway. He loves me unconditionally. And he loves me with an everlasting love. It's not going to change. And that is absolutely amazing. Jeremiah says in that 31st chapter, verse 3, I believe it is, when he says these precious words, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore, for this very reason, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." According to 139 Psalm, verse 1, God knows me better than I know me. Let your minds wrap around that. Nobody knows me like I know me. You don't even know yourself, really. But God does. God knows you better than yourself. He knows you. He knows the status of your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows your aspirations. He knows the temperature of your emotions. He knows the reasons behind your goals, your motives that you have behind the things that you do. He knows why you missed last Sunday. He knows why you're here this Sunday. He knows if you were late to church. He knows if you were on time to church. And somebody just said, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have come to church today. He's getting on my toes." He knows that too. See, you're not giving him any update on anything that's going on with you. He knows the level of your faith. He knows the level of your unbelief, child of God. He knows the purity of your thoughts. He knows the gutter thoughts that we have sometimes, that we're embarrassed about. Why did I even just think that? Your God knows about that thought. He knows the fears that cloud my mind. He knows the hurt that you may have that's deep in your heart. He knows what you have said. He knows what you wanted to say and you didn't audibly say it, but you thought it. I had young men say to me, "Why do you say that out loud sometimes?" Because I'll just say, "God, please forgive me." I told them, I said, the reason why is because I may not have audibly said it, but God heard my heart, what I just thought. My old fleshly nature and aggravation, whatever it was, the Lord knows. And so I audibly acknowledge it to him. I said, it's not for y'all. I know you think I'm crazy, and I probably am because I talk to myself a lot. But I'm talking to God at that particular time when I say, my God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Forgive my thoughts that I just had. Help me, God. I need your help, Lord, right now. Isn't that wonderful? You have now help. Not later on help. Not a busy signal help. Now help. He doesn't put you on hold. You ever get put on hold for a long time? He's now help. You don't get put on hold, David says. When I come, when I go, when I wake, when I sleep, when I'm happy, when I'm disappointed, when I'm strong, when I'm weak, when I stand, when I fall, he knows. And David's overwhelmed. Listen to what he says. Verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. David says, he's overwhelmed by this thought. And he says, God thinks about me. Do you know that he thinks about you? You may say, well, I'm not much to think about. I feel the same way, but I'm glad it's not based on what I think and about my worthiness. My God thinks about me and his precious thoughts. You've been on his mind for a long time. You know how long you've been on his mind? Eternity. That's the answer. He was on your mind before the foundation of the world. He was on your mind before he spoke this creation into existence. The finger work of God you walk around and you look at. The creation. Finger work. You've been on his mind for a long time. You know when you were on his mind? Always. At Calvary, you're on his mind. Today, you're on his mind. When you're dealing with the fear, when you're about to faint, and you're fretting all the things that we're told not to do. Fear not, faint not, fret not. What do? Fear, faint, and fret. That's what we do. You're on his mind. What a blessing, David says. David says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Your eyes have seen it all with me, God. You know it all. You've seen it all. You think about me, how precious, it can't be numbered. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and verse 9. He pens these words inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. When God Almighty speaks and he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What a glorious, glorious passage of Scripture. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I trust in the sovereign wisdom of my God, not my thoughts, not my whims, not my wishes, not what I think about my needs are. David says, these precious thoughts, I can't count them, they outnumber mine to him, I can tell you that. He thinks about me a lot more than I think about him. Think about all the things that you think about. Do a time sheet on yourself. What all do you involve yourself in during the day? And then you tell me, how long do you spend time reading and studying His Word and meditating on those things, maybe in prayer to Him? In His all-knowing nature, He testifies throughout His Word that He has thoughts about me. Didn't there used to be a clock on the back wall, or did I dream that? Brother Josh, would you please tell me when it's about a quarter till? Give me some signal. I don't have a watch. Sorry, y'all. I'm begging you, please. In Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, this is what's recorded. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. John writes, God is greater and He knoweth all things. Job, it's recorded, dost thou know the balance of the clouds, the wondrous works of Him which is perfect in knowledge? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes to this earth in human flesh. We're told in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we read in the Gospels to where Jesus Christ, who's God robed in the flesh, knew men's thoughts. Even though they weren't speaking them, He knew. There's one time that Jesus, we read about, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 12. He is healing a man with a demonic spirit. He's possessed with a devil, and he's blind, and he's dumb, and He heals him. And there were people that said, is not this the son of David? And the Pharisees say, this is Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts. That's what it says. In Luke chapter 6, man with the withered right hand, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ heals him. The scribes and the Pharisees had a problem with that, and it tells us that Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus, we read in John chapter 2, He didn't commit Himself unto the scribes and the Pharisees there, because it says He knew all men. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has this perfect knowledge because He is verily God. He has this omniscience also, your Lord and Savior. That's the point I'm trying to make. How great is your God? How great is His knowledge about you? Go with me to the 147th Psalm. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. You did a wonderful thing this morning. You know that when you made it to the house of the Lord on time and you opened up a psalm book and you sang with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. But that's not the only time that we can praise Him. You need to have praise on your lips all the time. It's pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcast of Israel. If you feel like you're an outcast, you're in the right place this morning. You're an outcast. You're a bankrupt sinner. That's good. We sing Amazing Grace. It saved a wretch like me. Some people don't want to be called that. They get upset with you. Thou worm Jacob. Go tell somebody they're a worm. Go walk downtown Birmingham. Hey, worm. Somebody liable to dot your I's and cross your T's for doing that. But you see, you've been blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit that has taken up permanent residency in your heart because you're a born-again child of God and you get it. You understand I'm totally depraved. There is no goodness about me, but I've got the imputed righteousness of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Even though this all-knowing God that I worship, that he is sovereign, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, let me tell you what about him. He loves me. He knows all about me, and because of his Son, I'm accepted in the Beloved. Because of him, I stand justified because of the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I now stand before this thrice holy God and all of his divine attributes, and I'm justified before him. Yes, he knows all about me, but when he looks upon me, there's the blood of Christ. Whiter than snow, we sing. You need to be thinking about what you're singing sometimes. Whiter than snow. Listen to what he says. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Did you tell him about your broken heart? Whether you did or didn't, he already knows about it. He binds up all your wounds physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever wounds that you're dealing with. This is how great he is. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. He names the stars. You name your pets. You may have a dog, a cat. I got some cows on the farm. Clarabelle, Dusty, Deucey, Dot, Crazy Eyes. We had to sell her. I've got some of them that have gone. Black Jack Mulligan, we sold him. Black Bart, we sold him. They're Angus. That's why we named them Black. We name a few pets, but I hadn't named every cow. I couldn't keep up with it. God named all the stars. Google how many stars that there are. It blew my mind. It's a number. It's got 23 zeros behind it. 23 zeros. That the scientists did the math and they say that it's something like some billion trillion number. Beyond me. God gave them all a name. He gave every star a name. And you think you're going to tell him something he doesn't already know about you? You think you're going to hide something from him that he doesn't already know about you? Listen to what David says. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. All right, preacher, that's great. How in the world is this going to help me out in life? Amen. He's omniscient. Again, I said you need to take this personal. It needs to take part in your conversation with your God. In Job chapter 14, I believe it's around verse 16, it talks about, now thou numberest my steps. You know your steps are numbered in front of him? You think Fitbit did that when it came out. You ever seen people with one of them Fitbit things on or a watch? Had somebody one time, they were stepping in front of me while I was trying to talk to them. I said, what's wrong? I got to get my steps in. You look like a Tennessee Walker standing there in front of me. You're making me nervous. Stop. Do I need to march with you while we're having this conversation? Fitbit thought it started numbering steps. God says, I know all about your steps. Know all about them. So with all of this knowledge that we've been blessed with, that you understand in God's word, how is this to affect my life and my confession to him with my sins, the things that I struggle with? How about with my prayers? What should my prayer life be like now? You know, you're to have a prayer life. That fellow say to me, well, you said that the Lord already knows what I stand in need of before you ever ask him, so why go to him in prayer? Because he says men ought always to pray. It's a command. So if you don't understand anything else, I think we understand a command from the king that says pray. But there's a great blessing in it, if the Lord be our helper to see. What about this confession of sin? King David, at one time in his life, a couple of times in his life, but we're going to go to one incident, felt like that he was sweeping it all under the rug. Ain't nobody gonna know. I'm not where I was supposed to be. I was supposed to be on the battlefield, but I wasn't where I was supposed to be. You need to be where you're supposed to be. Thank you for being at the house of the Lord this morning. King David sees a young maid by the name of Bathsheba, desires her, makes all the arrangements, has an affair with her. Sorry about it, but sorry got caught. How can I cover this up? Bring her husband home, Uriah, one of my number one generals. Let's bring him home. All of those plans didn't work together. Since all this didn't work together to cover this up, I'm going to put him on the front line of the battlefield, and then you withdraw from him so that he'll be killed in battle. And David thought, well, nobody will be any the wiser. Nathan the prophet comes, gives him a parable. Talks about a man who had one little ewe lamb, just one. The man that had a great flock takes that one little ewe lamb. And that's the one we're going to have for supper. That's the one that I'm going to use for my guests that are coming. David's couldn't believe it. Cannot believe this. Well, this man needs severe punishment. Nathan says, you're the man. You're that man. Go with me to another psalm and listen to the condition of David. We're going to go to Psalm 51. David says, and this is when David has come to the end of himself. Nathan the prophet has visited with him. He's come to the end of himself. He's miserable. He's lost the joy of his salvation. Not his salvation. Your salvation is safe and secure in your sovereign God. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you read Romans chapter 8, here's the bookends. There's no condemnation in Christ to those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus, and there's no separation. And everything between Romans 8 and 1 and the last verse, verse 31, is all about 35, the verse 30 in the 30s, because I can't recall it right now, is all about what God does for you. Every bit of it is. Don't ever get confused. That's all about there's no condemnation, there's no separation. David is blessed to know that there's his eternal salvation is not in jeopardy, but his joy is his fellowship with his God. And listen to his language. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, in verse 7. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, forgives. He forgave me at Calvary, but he forgives me. He cleanses me. Now that blood cleanses me. When I go to him in confession of my sins. When I take those things and I take them, and instead of blaming everybody else, we live in a society today that it's everybody else's fault. The reason why I do these things is this. The reason why I do them is this. David says, the reason why I did it is me. I did it. Nobody forced me to do it. I did it. And God, I need help with it. This is what I need help with. And he drags it out in front of God. God already knew about it, obviously, right? But he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He knows all about our sins. But this confession, listen to what it says in Proverbs 28 and 13. These precious words. In 28 and 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. He already knows, so I need to be about going to him and saying to him, God, please help me with this. God, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. I'm not hiding anything from you. I may have hid it from my friends, my family, my church family, from whoever, but God, you know all about it. God, I say the same thing that you say about my sin is what David says. I sinned against you and against you alone. And God, I'm sorry. And will you help me, Lord, to get back on the right track again? Because if left up to me, I'll stay on the wrong track. God, I can't hide it from you. I need your help. I miss our fellowship. The joy has left my life. David had lost his joy. He goes to his heavenly Father. Here is the recipe. Here is the antidote. He goes to his heavenly Father. He tells him what's going on. God already knows. He confesses it. He still loves David, even after he tells him all that. He knows me better than I know myself, and he still loves me. Just and right is he. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He can never know me better or love me any more or any less. He loves me with an everlasting love, a perfect love. And I can go to my heavenly Father and I can speak to him. Nevertheless, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And listen to this last portion of it. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God already knows. He's forgiven me of my sins. So what's the big deal? If I believed in that sovereign grace stuff that y'all believe in, I'd just go live my life however I would want to. How many times have we heard that? You bought your ticket because you're fixing to get a sermon from me. I've done it my way enough. And I sicken myself sometimes. And I've got a Savior who's Christ the Lord. And I can go to my Heavenly Father and I can say, Lord, I'm not serving you the way that I should. God, I want to serve you better. I don't know how much time I got left. I've wasted so much time, God. Please, Lord, help me to redeem the time and use it wisely, God, and serving you by serving your people. God, forgive me of this. You go drag it out in front of him and you say it. You know, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows them. Well, how many people did you introduce to Christ? A man asked me one time. None. He looked at me, the look of disappointment across his face. What kind of a preacher is this? The Lord knoweth them that are his. I got it. He needs me to introduce him to one of his children? How silly is that? He's the Creator God who knows all things. We say about his omnipotence, that God has all power. We believe that and we go, yes, he has all power. Does anybody want to arm wrestle God? No. He's all power. He spoke this world into existence. Well, he's also all knowing. Do you grasp that? We'll grasp that he's omnipresent. He's with us all the time. But he's all knowing about you too, child of God. And his wisdom is far beyond mine. And so now when I go to him in prayer, you know, why do you pray? Because number one, it's a command. Number two, yes, he knows what I stand in need of before I ever ask him. But let me tell you this. You know what Brother Hugh does sometimes when I'm praying to my God? All of a sudden I start listening to me. I start listening to me, praying to God. And all of a sudden, some of the things that I've been praying about kind of comes to me. Brother Mazzell, it kind of comes to me. And I start thinking about what I'm speaking to God about. And all of a sudden, am I being submissive to his will? Thy will, dear Lord, not mine. He already knows what I stand in need of. And he also knows the motives behind what I'm asking for, too. But I have the blessing to go to my all-knowing Heavenly Father and speak to him in prayer and to be able to thank him for his daily provision for me and the continuance of it. Yes, we immediately have, you know, the now help, Lord, help me right now. But how much time do we spend just saying to him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my daily bread. Thank you, Lord, for the continuance of it. Did you thank him for your paycheck when you got it? Did you say, Lord, thank you? Got another paycheck? Or did you go, another paycheck. I never got that raise. God, thank you for providing. Thank you for providing. Lord, you know all things. You know everything about me, Father. And I'm able to go to him in prayer, and I'm able to speak to him, and it's a command that we're to pray. But also, when I start praying to him, I think about what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he gave the model prayer unto the disciples, thy will be done in earth, not on earth, in earth. And me, I'm clay. This is going to get dropped off in the ground one day, unless the Lord comes back. I'm dirt that God breathed into and gave life to. I'm clay, in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, thy will in my life. But Lord, I wanted this. Why don't I get this? Do you think that time sometimes? But Lord, I prayed for this. And this is what I really believe, if you would just reason with me, Lord, would understand that I really need this in my life right now. Be careful what you ask for. I'm thankful for a sovereign God that looks around the corners. One of the most precious old brethren one time prayed at a church. It was a sermon his prayer was. And he said, God, you can see around the corners and we can't. You can see way beyond around the corners. You see, I'm like a piece of paper that's got a margin on it. I got a margin on me. My look in this life is like looking through a crack in the door. All I'm looking at is that at the moment. I'm squinting through that crack right there. But my God sees the entire picture. And he loves me so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for me. And you think he doesn't know what's best for you? Sometimes we got to let it go. I don't understand it. I may never have the intellectual knowledge in the here and right now about why it all laid out that way. But God, I trust you. I prayed to you about it. You're my omniscient God, and you know about all of these things. And it tells us that he knows all about our afflictions. He knows all about our sufferings, all about our sorrows. He knows about them and he cares. He cares about you, child of God. And this is how much that he cares about you. And I want to close. I don't know what he hasn't given me a hand signal yet. But when people start squirming around, it must be getting long. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Y'all love me and I love y'all. Thank you for being long-suffering me. We're going to close right here. What did I said Hebrews chapter 4. That's right. It's one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. And as I've been studying this lesson personally, specifically about me, this verse 13, I never started with it before, but I certainly feel led to now. Hebrews 4 and 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. He knows it all. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to be faced with, Jesus Christ told his disciples at the end of that John chapter 16, that we're going to have sufferings. We're going to have persecutions in this world, but he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. We're going to have things that are going to come and happen to us at different times in our life. The storms are coming. It'd be nice to know when they're coming. But sometimes we don't know when they're rolling in, when the storm naturally is rolling in, or when it's a storm that's about in our lives is about to hit. But your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is very much in tune with you. And he knows every single thing about you. And he knows what breaks your heart, what has broken your heart, what may in the future break your heart. He cares about you, and he sovereignly knows all things, and sometimes peaceful and gentle is his answer, no, no. And it hurts us, because it may be something that you really, really, really want. And your intentions about the want that you have is good. It's not that you're going, I want to win the Powerball so I can have a big yacht. That is something that's precious and dear to your heart. And God gently and sweetly says, within the margins of the page of my life, I might not understand and have the intellectual knowledge of the in time now. But he's my all-knowing God, and I trust in him. And he may be sparing me from great sorrow. He may be sparing me from something in my life that hadn't even hit my brain yet. Child of God, this message of his omniscience needs to touch every facet of your life. My life in prayer to my God, my life in confession to him, my life in service to him. We didn't even get to that one. My life when I'm going through the trials and the tribulations and I don't understand why. My God loves me with a perfect love that's unconditional. And he knows me better than I know me. And he knows the end from the beginning. And he knows I trust in what's best for me in life. And so I'm going to rest in that. That's what I'm going to rest in. Because I'm not going to allow the rest of my life to be in unrest. Because the Prince of Peace knows all about me. He knows my thoughts. He knows the intentions of my heart. He knows all about me. And so just because the answer is no, I'm not going to give up life. He's blessed me with the here and now to be here and to serve him and his people. I'm not folding my tent. I'm not crawling in a hole. I'm going to face the day knowing that my God knows what's best for me. He knows me better than he knows me. May the Lord bless you in this. If there's been any confusion, you lay that to Brother Hughes' charge. And please give me an opportunity to visit with you. If you received any blessing in it, you give every bit of the glory to Almighty God. Thank you for having me.
Let's stand and sing number 150. Thank you.